Connect with the Matt and Ramona Showcast via Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at 1079thelink.com.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Hey, Freakos. So happy you're joining us for this podcast. Hopefully you've been sharing for all the other ones too. Download and subscribe and share. You're sharing. The numbers keep going tick, tick, tick upward. So we appreciate that. You can rate it. You can comment. That helps us. So please do it. Also, if you want to hit us up with thoughts on the podcast or things we talk about, you can go to Brent Bendy Harlan and Matt Harris and Ramona Holloway and Carrie Doc Bowser or the Matt and Ramona Show. Today, we're going to be talking about Meghan and Harry a bit. We're going to talk about a space hotel. We're going to talk about parents being awkward when they play with their kids, all that and more. I start with something. I think Bandy wasn't with us the day I talked about this, and I put it on Facebook about I had Chinese food for dinner one night. And then I realized that that rice is kind of the glitter of the food world. And you refer to glitter, Ramona, as the herpes of the art world. So maybe
right.
rice is the herpes,
it's the herpes of the craft world because you can't get rid of it, no matter how well you think you've wiped up or vacuumed after receiving
there.
A card or a craft with glitter. You're still going to be sitting there, and one day you're going to see something sparkly that you missed an hour later or a year later.
And I feel that when I am a cleaner, I clean, but it's always I find extra rice pellets around, like in my microwave, I'll find them, or on the floor or on the island. Just miss them.
What are you doing with the rice? Are you throwing it at your wife when she walks downstairs like you're at a wedding? Like,
yes.
How does rice get everywhere?
They sneak away. Jen on Facebook said rice are runners. They can hide where you least expect it.
What?
A different Jen says poppy seed bagels don't even get her started. Those babies are
okay.
Are
I can
around.
See that, but
Angie
rice?
Says I'm not alone. Sherry says they are like pine needles or Easter grass. Yes, pine rice needles. Is like that. I don't understand that. He says Julie says rice is tricky, ends up everywhere. That they have a Crystal says they have a multiplying superpower. They get out there. They
I've
run.
Never had this problem.
And I think they split into two. And
they're breeding.
Breeding.
Rice. Okay. All right.
Even Janet Barton, my mom-in-law, says you're not alone. Mm. Boiled rice today, and I thought it was all in the pan. Found it later on the floor. That's it. All
wow.
There is to know.
There's some issues out there. I did not I know were there.
Glad your mother-in-law's on your side.
My brother called it the glitter bomb of food.
Bomb of food.
Yes, because you it's on like a flat plate. So you're eating, and then it tumbles off, and then it can just run, and you sweep it. Somehow it hit around a leg of a thing or something. And the Roomba, I let the Roomba loose. Roomba missed him.
Wow. You know, Roomba can't
outsmarting
get him.
The Roomba?
Outsmarting the Roomba. Ooh. I don't think the Roomba
Here's
is
Here's my question. Like, what's the longest time you've gone between eating rice and finding rice? Like, a couple of days, a week?
Yeah,
a month?
A few days, maybe, the most.
Are you like, wow, this is rice from dinner? Yeah. 1978. I mean,
well, it's hard to tell because you might have you might have leftovers. So you might be eating rice for 3 days and you find rice, but you don't know if it was the first rice day or the second rice day or the third rice day.
Wow.
All you know is that the year is 2025 and you haven't had rice since 2021.
Right.
Yet you find some.
I don't know.
A grain.
I'm going to find, some of these places that eat a lot of rice around the world. I'm going to call them, see if they've got a plan.
Oh man,
that is the most ignorant American thing have ever thought of doing.
Places around
I didn't say
the world.
Where. There's lots of places that eat more rice than the Harris House, and I didn't say which place.
It and they all have a specific phone number. These places,
right? No, and it's not like he didn't just say we had Chinese food the other night.
Hello, miscellaneous country. I would like to ask you about your rice.
Yes, maybe they just go whatever we're used
country
to
that
now.
Might or might not be China. I don't know.
And
I don't
tell know. Me about your tea. All of the tea.
I'm just telling you. I don't think it's. I think it's fair to ask. Which I'm looking to see global rice consumption by country. Let's look it up.
Oh, wow.
China followed by India and Indonesia. I have a friend in Indonesia. I'm going to give him a call tonight.
Okay.
How's the rice business? Right.
Let us
how's
know
the
how
rice
that
in
goes.
Indonesia?
Is it escaping? Are rice running?
Yeah. And maybe they just like, you know, like, hey, we're just used to it. It is what it is. You know, there's probably some country that glitters all the time. And they're like, hey, we got glitter all over the floor all the time.
I'm sitting here with rice in my bra right now.
They're eating glitter?
No, they eat glitter. They're just an artsy country.
This is unicorn land.
Yeah, unicorn land. I'm going to call my pretty pony friends and see if they've got glitter all over their house. They just can't get rid of.
You call them.
They probably do my bronies. See what they're doing. Maybe I should call Megan and Harry. I don't know why. I'm just going to call them. You think they'd answer? 17 million watched it or something, the Oprah interview, which is a huge number, more than like the Grammys and the Emmys and the whatever, Golden Globes all combined, I think.
It was appointment viewership. And in an era where appointment viewership has pretty much gone away because you can watch anything whenever you want. But
you can still watch
I
that now,
knew like, yeah. where I was going to be on Sunday night. I didn't want to wait until other people started talking about it. I wanted to be in front of my TV, connecting with other people who were in front of their TV at the same darn time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did watch it, but not in real time. And you were, I thought at the end of it, honestly, I thought there's going to be the majority of sympathy is going to be with Harry and Meghan. Then I saw that tide had kind of changed a little bit, and I kind of even changed my tune as I thought through it some more. But you wrote an article, you can get it on the 107.9, the link page, a blog about the lessons learned from Harry and Meghan.
Can I tell you what I thought that I wrote about and the response that I got? I thought, because I tuned in for entertainment, and I really did go through all kinds of emotions, and it is because I've had my own mental health struggles. So I know that I was watching as a person sympathetic to someone who needed mental health help. So by the end of it, I was all up in my feelings, like, you know, there's a lot to learn here, a lot to unpack. I wrote about it. I thought I wrote about family values, about a husband and wife doing what was best for their nuclear / elementary family. I thought I wrote about that. I thought I wrote about mental health and seeking help. And I thought I wrote about how the media sometimes perpetuates lies, because whether you believe Meghan or Harry or Oprah or the palace or whatever, whichever side you believe, there are many different stories to be told. And one of them is not, at least one of them is not true. So you have to think about where you're getting your information from. That's what I thought I wrote about. But in the end, when I posted said article, people are saying that I'm crazy. I've been told on Twitter that I am as trashy as Meghan.
I don't see it. I don't understand that.
I thought you said I see it. Like, wait,
see
it. Wait, what?
No, I see you're crazy. I see you're crazy, but I don't.
Matt
see
wrote right. those comments as his burner account.
I almost forgot that as part of my Twitter description, I put that I was the author of a book called Jesus Take the Fork, because years ago I'd started working on a book after I had my gastric bypass surgery. And one guy who hated what I wrote about Meghan and Harry said that I needed to take the fork out of my mouth and put it in my brain because I was acting a fool on social media.
That's pretty funny.
Other people liked it. Like, yes, this woman is crazy. It's like, okay, yeah. I get it. We don't see eye to eye, but Disney has taught us that these princess stories start out really ugly before you get to the fairy tale happily ever after part. I mean, that's Disney and that's fake. And we also saw some really bad things happen to Princess Diana, and we saw her son, Harry, you know, and Will too. I mean, paraded through the streets after their mother died, forced to walk behind her casket stoically. I mean, why we tuned in for that. So what makes us think that this is a really healthy, awesome thing that he left?
Well, we don't know. I mean, all families have
we don't know. So these people are telling their story. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you think that I'm crazy and Meghan's crazy and the royal family is awesome, like, can't you be kind when someone says I was hurt? Can't you? Why are you mad that someone else is hurt?
Well, I think they're mad because for many reasons. One, a lot of people don't like rich people. And that's, so that's a, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just, that is wrong.
The royals are rich.
Well, I know, but they're not the ones on TV complaining. That's the theory.
Okay. Okay. Rich people can't complain. Number one.
Yeah. You're talking to Oprah, who's a billionaire. They're multimillionaires. They live next door to each other and they're complaining about how horrible their life is. A lot of people are like, seriously, your life is horrible.
Yeah.
And second of all, people don't like to, in general, a lot of times we're going to take the crown side or whatever, you know, and another part of it is you don't like seeing people complain that, I guess it's back to the rich thing, that have everything, or they also see it as not real. Like they don't buy it.
And
they
then Meghan's father,
making it up to try to get
Meghan's father, who Laura. Has always been on his own agenda. You know, he goes out there and he's saying that he doesn't believe the whole race thing. And the problem is that Meghan pulled away from the family. She didn't necessarily pull away from the family. She pulled away from him because she was tight with mom.
Yeah.
Mom was at the wedding. It was dad who was posing, reading the tabloids and doing all the things to play into the narrative that she says was hurting her.
Yeah. Now, I think is like you. Like if she's a lot of people have in their family, somebody who would say something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
The race thing, the skin tone, black, white, whatever. People would say that.
My family has every shade of brown and white and peach under the sun. And I can tell you that while the color doesn't make a difference, people sometimes still notice
or ask, what do you think that kid's going to look like or whatever?
Yeah. And I have a little cousin whose eyes look exactly like my mom's. Exactly. And people wonder, quote, what is she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What is she?
So my, like, I think that.
Not who is she?
Right, right, right.
They ask, it's wrong. What is she? And on every continent on this globe, my mom taught me as a foreign language teacher, she said, Ramona, when you study language, you study culture. When you look at culture, there is a culture, a country on every continent where color makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
On every continent, there's at least one country where the color of your skin makes a big difference in how you are valued.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think one of the things there is, like the overlying thing is, if it's this rogue employee or this rogue second cousin or the uncle that comes into Thanksgiving we all have who might say something offensive, is it one of those things where you say, hey, that's my freaking uncle, Meghan. We're just having Thanksgiving dinner. Let's just get through this. He's an ass. Let's, you know, whatever. So a lot of people are like, was that, that's the question. Is that the most, is that so painful? Because we also have sat through ass things that people, you know, that a wacky relative said. That's what I think people are thinking. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you all hear stuff, and
you know, but
was it a uniform thing?
And I understand that my stuff is coming from a place where my family history comes into play. So this is I have to admit, put it out there, that it's kind of personal for me because I have so many members of my family who are white. I have members of my family who are biracial. And I remember my cousin Wayne and his wife Debbie, us being very concerned about going to a family reunion with them in Mississippi in an area where their relationship was still problematic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
And I have talked to my cousin about how he grew up in a primarily white atmosphere. He was biracial. And it was like when he would go to track meets, it was like he felt alienated by some of his teammates he would talk to some of the black kids from the other school. So it's mm-hmm. So when you say it's that one rogue relative, it depends on.
No, I said I wondered if it was. I didn't say it was.
You say you wonder if it's that one rogue relative. That one rogue relative can really make a difference.
Oh yeah, But hopefully Harry can say, like, listen.
And there were rogue relatives in my family. So does that mean we don't go to family reunions anymore?
Right. No, of course you go.
No, absolutely not. I would not. If I married a white man and he was rejected by my family.
Oh, rejected. I'm saying they made a comment.
By my family.
That's different.
I absolutely would not say, yeah, you just got to go and put up with my uncle. That's just how he is.
No, I would
protect him.
And my
nephew, I was really concerned about him when he was dating. My nephew was black. His mom is white. He was dating a woman who was white. Her family hated him.
Yeah. I'm saying if someone made an ignorant comment, you would put them in their place, but you wouldn't probably cut off the family. I mean, you would put them in their place.
I might cut off the family.
Because if my family is
emotionally abusing my partner.
No, I didn't say emotionally abusing. They made a comment.
But that comment is what I'm trying to tell you, Matt, is those comments are emotionally abusive because my partner can't change their color ever.
But sometimes it's ignorant and you tell them, hey, Freddie, stop that. You ever say anything like that again, I'll punch you in the face or whatever, or we're going to break up. But I don't think the immediate thing, because I know you've told me the ignorant things some people in your family have said. You didn't immediately run away. You put them in their place and maybe they learned from it and grew from their ignorant comment. But it wasn't immediately one comment from that one guy and I'm never going to anything ever again. Do you know what I'm saying?
And from what
I don't know what happened, but
yeah, we don't. We have no idea
right.
what happened. But what we do know is that some things transpired that led to this couple saying it's best for us to not be dependent upon a system that does not appear to love us the way we want to be loved.
Right. I don't understand how, and this is not a judgment thing. I can't imagine myself not Googling somebody famous. Like she said, she didn't check into the thing. Mm-hmm. I would have been all over that, man.
Yeah.
Even if I was going to meet George, George Clooney or something. I'm going to meet George Clooney. I'm going to Google some stuff before I meet George Clooney, like to make sure I've got a little bit of a heads up of what's going on. And her new fiance or guy she's dating, his mother died very publicly. That would be the right thing to do, but to be to find out as much as you could.
So you didn't say something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I won't say that I felt like 100% of the interview felt genuine. Some of it felt very rehearsed to me.
A couple
of parts of it felt rehearsed.
Yeah, I agree.
But overall, I have felt like there was indeed a cry for help. I have felt like perhaps Harry did marry his mom and now wants to protect a woman who is just like her. And the best way for him to do it was to not be so connected and have his fortune so closely woven to a system that was tearing his wife apart.
It's not like they're poor. They're going to have a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely not. And he says his mom left him money. And one of the best parts about this is here's my thing. They walk away. They say, we don't want to be a part of it. I give up my titles. I'll just straight up give them up, because if I'm not going to be dependent on the system, I don't need Prince or Duke or Duchess next to my name. That's Ramona.
Yeah, because everybody would know who you are anyway.
Right. a mama bear might say that's my kid's birthright. I don't know. But Ramona would say, you know what? I'm good.
Who cares? Everybody knows you're a prince anyway. You don't have to have it in front of you. They're going to know you're Prince Harry. You don't have to have it officially on your letterhead.
And the beauty of it is, on the tail end of it, Oprah and Harry are teaming up for a series on mental health. And if that's the gem we get from this, I'm all in.
I am not fired up on, it's always amazing to me that we're fired up on to defend the monarchy. And I always found it kind of odd that people in this country are so fired up about the queen and that whole thing. Mm-hmm.
The best part about it is this is drama that's not happening on our soil.
Yeah, but it's happening in a lot of people's actual families.
Yeah.
Very similar things. You know? But it's not on our soil. All right. So the other thing we want to talk about is the Space Hotel, which I think we talked a little bit about it on the air, and I'm trying to get that information because I think that I would definitely go if I could afford it. I think it'd be cool to be in a space hotel. Oh, you don't like it, Ramona. You think it'd be weird, or and you're not convinced on the safety of it for some reason.
What do you mean for some reason?
What? 2025?
Am I the only one who watched the movie Apollo 13?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a gym in there, and movies, and libraries, and concert venues.
Oh man, yeah,
400 people.
You know, it's one thing if your toilet backs up at the Holiday Inn. It's a whole nother thing if there is a sewage issue in your space hotel.
They just open up the pipes and leak it into space. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it going in the ground.
That sounds great.
Yeah, easy fix. Don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
I don't see it much different than a plane.
Yeah,
I don't see it much different than a plane.
Yeah.
You're just basically doing that. It's going to take about, 10 years to finish? Not even that. It's a 3-year-old company, and
they've only been at this for 3 years, and you're going to trust their space hotel?
Yeah. I'm going to let them get the bugs out, maybe.
Right? Come on.
No, I'm not.
Come on.
They probably. It's not like they probably weren't like, you know, stocking shelves at Harris Teeter, and then they decided let's start a space company. I'm sure they were doing something related to space.
While I respect Wilbur and Orville, they had a lot of fails before they finally got up.
That's
in the
true.
Air.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the zombie apocalypse, zombie preparedness, CDC thing has, they've updated their blog.
Yeah. They took advantage basically of this pandemic and said, hey, we're going to get people to care about our website by mentioning zombies.
Yes. Have you checked out the latest,
I haven't seen the exact updates. They do mention, you know, the old get your emergency kit together. Also make a family plan for any sort of emergency situation.
But a gallon per person per day of water, and food and medications, which is weird because you can't really store a lot of medications or controlled substances. So you can't store some of them. They can't give you extra. You can't say like I need 100 extra oxys because I might have a zombie apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse. I might get bit and I might need this oxy, doctor.
Or I've got an opioid addiction. One of the two.
Sanitation.
I mean, I thought we were talking about, you know, maybe stockpiling some aspirin and you know, maybe some diabetes meds or something like that.
But they do mention non-prescription. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going straight to opioids.
Well, I mean, it could be my ADD medicine too. That's
I know. You think about that. If you didn't have access to your mental health medicine,
and you wouldn't come on,
it's a zombie apocalypse. If you don't have your ADHD medicine, it will be okay.
No, but how about my mood
can't
stabilizers?
Focus.
Like I cannot focus on these zombies.
No, I can't even. I don't know where
one
to shoot.
One of them's just going to go ahead and eat me because I just can't. I can't stay focused.
Yeah, usually it's squirrels that distract me. Now it'd be like The Walking Dead would be like zombies. Oh, like, whoa, geez, what am I doing?
There's a crawler.
There's a crawler. Where? So I don't know, you know, how I'm going to prep for that, but the CDC has new guidelines and you can check them out on that site. But it's basically just preparedness for, they use the zombie to get your eyeballs there. And then it's like any emergency, what you need to stock up on, which is wrong. They should do some zombie specific things.
Right. Like, like my riverboat plan, get on a riverboat going up and down the Mississippi.
Your riverboat plan.
Yep. That's hard to get a hold of pre zombie apocalypse. Like, he will dock it. Yeah.
But after the zombie apocalypse, he's just going to get a riverboat just like that.
Yep. We just go there.
Just start thinking about it. Yeah, I mean, think about
it. I'm sorry. I didn't think it through, Bandy.
How are you going to make your raids up and down the Mississippi River and get supplies and stock up?
Live
on a
ride out
boat?
The zombie apocalypse on a riverboat on the good old Mississippi.
We're assuming they're non-swimming zombies, by the way.
Yes, which yes,
you
yes.
Got to assume depending on which movie you're watching.
Of course. Hello.
But that's right. The case.
Yeah, you don't want to be out in the ocean either. You want to be in a river or a contained lake.
Right. Now, you could use the ocean as your. Like, I always thought the ocean could be behind you, whatever you're building. So at least one area is yeah, they can't what, come from. What but, direction
but,
they can't come
but,
from.
But say they gang up on you on shore and you have nowhere to go but the ocean.
Still got a boat that you can run over to another island or something.
I don't know. You need two sides, man.
I'm so confused. And then I saw this thing about that parents are embarrassed actually to play with their parent or their kids, and they feel kind of awkward about it. And I could see that. It's sometimes when you're playing and you're not as good as they are at the, at the whatever it is, you feel awkward.
Like, are you talking like getting spanked in video games or?
But I'm well, for me personally, it's talking
or like
about,
you're embarrassed. Like I used to play Barbies.
What did Barbie say? And they'd be like,
right.
Barbie would never say that. Or right now, right. LPS is like the littlest pet shop. These little animals, dogs, cats, whatever, that I play with Avery. And then she'll have a contest, says, you know, ask my wife to say, she'll be like, pick a category or whatever. And it might be formal. And then we take our little dogs and accessorize them and everything. We come back and
I need pictures. I'm terrible. Crave pictures of your littlest pet shop fashion show, Matt.
You're formal.
My wife and my eldest daughter, they never vote for me. And I think it's ageism. I have filed a complaint
with the committee.
Oh, my gosh.
So you do feel, and then people say they also feel awkward when they're like, the number one thing they feel, this is ages 3 to 12, awkward when they're dancing with their kids.
No, you should.
The kids feel more awkward, I think, than we do. We're embarrassed.
Yeah.
It'd be the other way around. But I do feel awkward.
He has no shame.
Doing these little TikTok moves as I'm walking down the street, like my daughter when she's just get bored. Just do like all these little.
Does every teenage girl do that?
Yes, constantly do it. Right?
I am. Yes, yeah. My eldest niece does the same thing. She'll just be standing there, and then she'll suddenly,
yeah, TikTok all of a sudden some weird stuff going on.
Like, I've seen it standing in line in the store, yes. And if it's a tween to a teen, you can like I actually recognized the other day the up video moves. Like, yeah. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's constant. It is constant.
It's just like a weird, like, kick. Flail.
Like a tick. Something.
Yeah, something out of it. Yeah, yeah.
That's that boogie boogie ba move. I see it. I know what you're doing, kid.
And then they listed, they asked parents what they enjoy doing with their kids and, you know, some typical stuff, going for a walk, going to the park, reading, whatever. But on here, they have feeding ducks. Enjoy that. We enjoy feeding ducks.
I thought that was an old person game.
Yes.
Feeding the ducks. An old man sitting on a park bench feeding ducks.
I mean, it does kill time and it's okay, but it's not
much time.
Because on another survey I saw, it said, what do you miss that you did when you were a kid? And feeding the ducks is on there. And I'm thinking, I don't miss that. Like if I didn't have a kid, I would never go feed a duck. Dirty fowl.
We didn't have bread to just throw around like that when I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say they enjoy playing hide and seek with their kids. That's only if I can fall asleep for a little while. And then they also
say, you're hiding or seeking
both. And they also would like to jump on a bouncy castle with their kids. Heck no. They even in the other list, I saw about things that you miss when you were a kid.
I love a bouncy castle.
I was never on a bouncy castle when I was a kid. First of all. So
they didn't have them when we were kids.
No.
Yeah, but they had them, but you could only access them at a carnival.
Yeah, probably.
You never saw them at like someone's
like
house.
If you went to the state fair, you could take off your shoes and get in the bouncy house.
Yeah, but we had trampolines, but not.
Yeah, you couldn't get in a bouncy house in somebody's backyard or birthday parties. Kids don't know how good they have it.
Yeah, so I would be afraid. I don't. I feel I would hurt.
I don't know.
Afraid
why you're
of a bouncy house?
Bouncy house sounds very scary.
Like
to me.
It's like the safest place to jump ever.
Yeah, but
you can't bounce out. You bounce against
involved.
The side of it. You just bounce back in.
But there is awesome. Falling, but it is literally the safest place to fall.
I don't think so.
In the world,
you know how many broken ankles happen in bouncy castles across the land yesterday?
No,
I've never 48.7
broken ankles. It's a common thing. I just read
all
it on the
right.
internet.
Well, okay.
Well, thank you for being with us on the old podcast. Download and subscribe if you haven't. Share, definitely do that, man. That helps us a lot. And we will talk to you soon.